My name's Aaron.
Where are you from?
I'm from Pennsylvania originally.
Where do you live now? Yeah, but she moved down to the nice warm south.
I live in Axton. God's been teaching me to get in touch with my empathy and use that to connect with people. Every once in a while, I'll get like a weird pressure in my chest. It's a very weird sensation. So I've been trying to learn to pay attention to it, and oftentimes when I have it, there's someone I'm supposed to speak to, and I'm learning
She needs
to figure out who that is also. So I'm very new at this. But we were at lunch
You're in the
at
middle.
Chick-fil-A, and
There you go. You
I
got a
was
stool.
at we were at Chick-fil-A, and I had that happen to me out of nowhere when I was standing in line, and I had no reason to feel anxious. I was about to get food at Chick-fil-A. I was pretty happy. And yeah, I just had that pressure in my chest, and it's a very awful feeling. But I saw this woman over there, and I just kept thinking about her, and I kept trying to push that feeling away, and it just wouldn't go away. And I finally had enough, and I was like, "Sam, Dave, I don't know what to do. Tell me what to do. I don't know what I'm doing." And they just asked me, "Was there somebody who stuck out to you?" And yeah, there was. So I just sighed, and I was like, "All right, let's go do this." And I just went, and I talked to her, and she told me how her husband died 2 years ago from cancer, and she's been praying about her children and them dealing with that, and how they're headed down a road that scares her. And I had a word for her that God was going to give her what she's been praying for. And yeah, that was really awesome.
Hey, your name's Aaron, right? Yes, I have a daughter called Aaron. Anybody know what Aaron means? Daughter of Ireland. Come on. Aaron, just as you were saying there, you're talking about empathy. I feel like you're someone who does connect with that because you have a pastor's heart. And the pastor's heart isn't, pastors like what we do. I'm talking about pastoral. And again, make sure you're being driven out of God's spirit, not out of your own need to fix people. And I feel like the Lord would say that there would always be fresh water, greenness, and vitality and life to everything you put your hand to. You come to Ireland, people who live in California, where it's all yellow most of the year, come to Ireland and go, "We can't believe how green it is here." I'm like, "Yeah, we can. It rains every day." And I feel like the rains for you are always good things, because when it rains, it brings life. And I feel like the Lord said, you will bring life, vitality, health, and strength wherever you go. I don't know what you do for a job, but I kind of feel like nursing and taking care of things that might be dying, might be things that you might end up into, that you actually get yourself involved in something that brings life and health to a people group or a group of people. And I feel like that's what the Lord wants to bring. And yes, it's your name, but it's much more than that. It's about what you carry and what you bring. And, Ireland sent, there's 9 million people in Ireland, just had a census, 46 million Irish people around the world, and only 9 million of them live in Ireland. And I feel like there's something about carrying what is in you that is about going to the nations and about being part of the nations. And I think that's in you to be something to the nations, to carry mission, to resolve issues and bring life and vitality where you go. So wherever your feet step, you'll bring life and vitality. Anyway, questions?
Amen.
Any more testimonies?
Daily has a word or a testimony?
He has a word?
It's Delia. Delia from Trinity, North Carolina, ladies and gentlemen.
Come on, Delia.
During one of the sessions this morning, I got a word about High Point University.
And I live pretty close to it, so I feel like that place is on my watch. And one of the locations at High Point University is an outside amphitheater. And I saw the Lion of Judah at the base of the amphitheater, the section of the amphitheater where people would be speaking or entertaining or whatever. And he's unloading a load of wood. And he's stacking it himself. And he was, while he was doing that, he was also telling me where to place the wood. And this wood is going to be set on fire for people to come bring their issues and be burned up in this fire.
Amen.
That'll do.
Good. Delia, did they let you back in after COVID now?
No.
They haven't let you back
in? Well, I haven't even asked.
I think you need a re-knock on that door. Amen. She used to prayer walk, and then they asked her not to come back after COVID.
Yeah. Yeah, so. March of 2020 was the end of that.
Yeah.
But I hadn't tried since then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very, very dangerous, following the science.
Good. Any questions? Come on. Please can we brief? Okay, we're done. Let's go.
Yeah.
Chick-fil-A.
There's no questions.
Excellent. Speak up nice and loud.
I'm going to ask you, I know y'all talked a little bit about discernment.
What's your name?
Amy Nelson.
And where are you from, Amy?
I am from Stuart, Virginia.
Awesome.
And so, it's a little different. I feel like the Lord is, well, I ask the Lord to increase discernment. In a special way, but I feel like I'm learning in a way that I wasn't expecting to learn it, I guess, and I just feel like I walked into something and I'm totally like, what is this, what is going on, how do I deal with it? So it's like, if you go into, let's say you come in here, let's say you go into another conference, and you know, it could be a lot of people, it might be smaller people, but you feel like there's a lot of resistance, I guess, or you feel uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Not in a bad way, you just feel uncomfortable, like there's
Because there's a good uncomfortable.
I don't know if it's a warfare, you would call it a warfare, or pushback, or resistance, or...
So what are you asking? What's your question?
How would you deal with that? Because I feel that sometimes, and
okay.
It's like it's increased more.
Yeah.
Go.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you're a feeler. All right. And there's nothing wrong with feelers. Feelers are people who pick up on the sensitivities of the spiritual atmospheres. They're misunderstood. All right. They're usually intercessors. They usually are feelers because they actually can't do anything about the feeling. But God shows it to them to do what? So that we can pray. So it's an intercessor's gift. It's not just discernment, it's more than that. It's the ability to feel, map out, and understand the signs of the times, what's going on. Feelers are often completely barking mad. You know, they're mad. They're referred to as crazy people because they do weird things in weird places, prophetic acts. And feelers are misunderstood, but I really think, you know, there's things in the world we know that our principalities, our darkness. Our job isn't, you know, I used to go into demon territory here's the way I see it now. If you think of a hornet's nest, you leave a hornet's nest alone, you know it's there, you can manage it. But you know what Christians go and do to hornet's nests? They go and start throwing stones at it and beat it, and then they wonder why they get attacked and get beat up. And I've just discovered that kind of going after the enemy's territory is unbiblical. Jesus said, seek first the and all these things. So what I know is that if God shows me there's a hornet's nest in a particular area, I just know how to pray to keep that thing contained. It's not my job to deal with a hornet's nest. That's God's. And I think be careful when you go into a territory that you don't start tearing principalities and darknesses and all of that stuff. I could tell you 100 horrific stories of when people do that, how the enemy just starts to sting. My job is to go into territories and highlight the hornet's nest so that the kingdom people can go, hey, you got to see those things there. Just be careful, but leave them alone. They'll be grand by themselves as God. Our job's to take care of all the other things, the kingdom of heaven. And I think that's my advice over the years. I'm a feeler too. When you go to territory and you feel, I can walk into places and go, oh, dang, something's weird. You know, even driving around Martinsville here, I was talking to John about it yesterday. I'm like, you know, there's historical things that are here that affect a place. Where I live in my town, Antrim, for 32 years there was murders in our town. And it was an awful town, drugs, a lot of deprivation. And it's a bit like here. It had a linen industry. It came out of the old mills. We had linen. It was Irish linen. Then the nylon factories came. We started producing nylon. And DuPont, who were here, owned the British Engelon. My father was a manager in the British Engelon. And it's much like here. And in the 80s, 70s and 80s, whenever cheap Chinese imports came, deprivation came to those places and poverty came in. And fathers and grandfathers that you will know were paid out of work and never got jobs. And that destroyed something within them because they were good, hard-working men. But the deprivation that that creates in an environment brings spiritual, physical, and emotional poverty. And this place is full of it. And we began to pray as a church, not that God would deal with the demons. We began to pray that God would start bringing in the entrepreneurs, would start bringing in hope again, would start bringing that. And we, so you used to drive into the 30-mile-an-hour speed zone in our local town, and the hairs in the back and neck would stand up because it felt demonic. When we began to pray and we pressed in, we didn't go after the dark forces. We went after the revelation of God, which was, come, Jesus, and claim this for you. We're not going after Satan and all his demons, because I can tell you that doesn't end well for anybody. But seek first the kingdom of God in that environment and let God do his work. The day that we planted our church, there was a wall that stood around our town. It was a historic town, market town, but it had a castle. The wall around the town stood for 700 years. And I would go every day for 4 years before I planted the church in my town, praying on that wall. The day that we agreed as a team to plant the church, the next morning, Asman, who's one of my elders, called me and said, have you seen the local news? I was like, Saturday morning, waking up at 8 o'clock, pump onto the local news, and the wall that had stood for 700 years was lying in the middle of the market square. And instantly the Lord said, if I can take down physical walls that stood for 700 years, watch what I'll take down when it comes to spiritual walls. And we've watched that happen, so much snow that our town is being regenerated. We've got two of the best coffee shops on the planet. And, you know, that they wouldn't have survived.
That's subjective, but
when you're there, you'll understand.
We'll let you state your case here.
And I know when you come, you'll understand. You need your eyes open. But yeah, it's what I'm saying is this, is that sometimes we go at it with the wrong... Listen, you know, spiritual battles. What's the real spiritual battle? Who's the real enemy? Sometimes it's just us. Go after the kingdom of God. When you walk, pray now in heaven. God, come and restore this place. Bring renewal. These people, Lord, are out of work. Give them jobs. Bring the entrepreneurs back. Let's pray that way rather than going, Satan, get out of this place, and, you know, breaking every covenant and Masonic curse and... Jeez Louise. You know, we know they're here. I drove up a street the other day. There was four signs, Masonic signs along the street. And I'm like going, dang, there's a lot of cursey good things going on right here. You know what? You know what's fun? I know they're there, but I ain't going to let them affect my faith, my understanding of who God is. Bring the glory. God, come and take back this ground. Come and advance your kingdom in this area. Bring in the prosperity. Bring the kingdom thinkers. Bring, you know, we think about churches, you know, God's interested in kingdom thinkers, entrepreneurs. You know, ask God for a vision for a business, for something that brings hope. They do better than churches sometimes. And yet, what do? Oh, well, you know, I talk to people all the time when I plan a church. I'm like, no, you don't. Just start a healthy business in the community and do church there. Let me tell you something much more fun.
Have babies.
Yeah, that's good. Something to tell us?
No, not yet.
That's a prophecy.
Soon,
come on,
very soon. Yeah, the only thing I'm going to add to that is just I just I believe that there's an angel that's just going to help you, just as an aid to work through. And it is a teaching lesson, and the Lord's going to, I was kind of laughing because things jumped out to me. God's going to teach you how to regularly navigate the emotions that you feel and to realize they're not your own. So you're going to become comfortable with what you're discerning, and no longer will be uncomfortable, but the Lord will teach you how to partner with him to pray into the environment of what you're discerning in your emotions. But there's also, I believe the Lord is going to give you three very distinct dreams that are going to break open something in your heart to heal your heart. And as he heals your heart, your emotions will be healed. And as your emotions will be healed, you'll be better able to facilitate how God ministers through you. And I just bless you to do that. And the Lord also just really wants you to know that he is smiling at you and well pleased with you. And, oh, this is so cool. Jesus is right behind you, and he rips off just like this thing that's tried to hinder your connection with him. And it's a healing of restriction. And there'll no longer be this restriction in your connection with him. And there'll be this free exchange of kindness and love as there's never been before. Because there's just a really sincere heart for you to know him. And so the Lord has answered your prayer for breakthrough today.
That's good. Just on the back of that, can I say that back home we've places called thin places. It's kind of, you know, in Hebron, I don't even know that, where the first altar took place when Abraham built the first altar. It was there. 30 years later, Abraham went back to it, to the very same place he built the first altar. And it says he fell over in the presence of God. That for 30 years in this altar, the presence of God established itself in the altar. We have lots of places like that where for 700 years, the people went to the ends of the earth. Well, guess where the ends of the earth were whenever Jesus did the Great Commission? The west coast of Ireland. Skellig Michael is a little island off the coast of Ireland that for 700-800 years became the central prayer place because they believed they were rushing in the return of Christ. In fact, if you watch the movie in Star Wars, it's where Luke Skywalker was hiding out. It was filmed on Skellig Michael. And I thought, it's really funny, God's bringing back the saviour of the world to a place where for hundreds of years. And then, of course, Columbus had to go and mess it all up, where we found all the your great country over here, and then they realize, wait a minute, God's got a bigger picture, which is the way it works. But Lord spoke to me, and he said, you don't have thin places, you are the thin place.
Amen.
We don't have thin places.
That's right.
You are the thin place.
That's right.
And I think sometimes we go to places where we think we want to get the presence of God, when actually what we got to believe is we are the presence of God, and where we go, we create a thin place. And it's a different mindset. And I feel like the Lord's saying, there's intercessors all over this room, by the way. Some of you guys, I'm going to point intercessors out, a whole bunch of you. And you're the guys that stand in the gap for earth. And you're not understood, but you stand in the gap. And you're able to go to a place and go, you know, it's like this lady's talking about a college. She's praying for it. She's a prayer walker. The college booted her out. You think that's going to stop her praying for that college? Heck no. Because intercessors, it's like, it's the thin place that you create for God. And I think you got to Google thin places and do a bit of research. That's what you are. Bless our God. Anybody else? Questions?
Dr. Schwarz, did you want to say anything? That Phil Donahue mic there. Give her that.
I did.
Go ahead.
I don't
get you.
Just let me put
we just had you down. Just
all right, it's okay. It's
fine. Yeah. I mean, I really feel like I just probably have the same words similar to what they were already sharing. I mean, I just agree with everything they were sharing. And I feel like there's a seer anointing that rests upon your life in a very powerful way. And I feel like that was awakened in you when you are like a young girl, but some things happened and that was shut down. Mm-hmm. And I feel like you have went through some healing in the Lord and your journey with God, but there's so much more healing to come. And as you walk through this place of restoration, the Lord's really going to open up that seer gifting in a greater way. And also the discernment that you're feeling. It's because you are a woman that cultivates your life in the presence of God. And so you're learning how to gain an awareness for how to partner with the Lord in releasing the kingdom of heaven. And I just also feel like the Lord wants you to rest just in your uniqueness, because he created you to be unique. Your personality is very unique, and the things that he's called you to do is very unique, because he's unique and he loves uniqueness. And so there is a gift of intercession on your life, and I just see him taking you into this place as you come before him in this season just to behold him. There's healing that's coming. There's restoration that's coming, but there's a peace that's going to settle on you. There is no fear in God. And as you operate in the gifts of the Spirit, there is no fear. There's a confidence that's coming in you, but there is a journey of inner healing and even deliverance that's coming to your life, and you're coming out leaning on your beloved. But this really is like this invitation into your own healing. But in that place, you're also going to be getting a greater insight and awareness into how to partner with him in shifting atmospheres, because you're called to be an atmosphere shifter for the glory of the Lord. So when you walk in, you will release light, you will release life, and you will release the opposite of what the enemy is doing, because just like what they were saying, we're called to set our gaze on the Lord and what is the Lord doing, not what the enemy is doing. Life always prevails over death. Light always prevails over darkness, and love always prevails over hate. So it's a really significant training season for you, equipping, and also a healing season for you. But the Lord just wants you to be at rest and know that it's the process that he has you in. And there's just greater confidence and clarity, and even like a strengthening and just a knowing in the things that he's called you to do. And so a couple books that came to my mind, I don't know if you have any books by James Gall, but I really felt The Seer and The Feeler for you will be really good for you to check out as resources as you're on this journey with the Lord too. But I just bless you as a woman of God. I bless you as a woman who sees. I bless you as a woman who hears the voice of the God. And I bless you as a woman who walks with the Lord. And I bless you as an atmosphere shifter in the earth in this day and in this time, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Glad you just added a little Dr. Suarez. What is your name and where are you from? Stand up. No, stand up. It's good for you.
I like to. I have to be in the back.
I know. That's why I'm asking you to stand up. So.
Okay. My name is Isabel Swanson, and I live in Menesdan on the mountain.
Awesome. Yeah.
And I was just talking about, you guys hadn't said anything about visions and dreams. I have those a lot, and a lot I know for people, and I think, well, I know when it's for me, but I just like to know. Water has to do with symbolizing the Holy Spirit, right? I saw a pitcher, a crystal pitcher with lines on it and kind of with a handle, and it was rushing water out. So is that like a rushing of his water, right? I just need a more
insight to the interpretation?
Yes.
Okay. John's going to give you the detailed interpretation. No, I'm joking. Sort of not really.
No, I'm pretty good at that stuff.
Yeah.
I love interpreting tattoos. Like I said to you, when you get the tattoo artist coming in, I said, shared some of you with, there's this guy led about 75 tattoos. They're not all in our church, by the way, but quite a few of them start coming to our church. But when you walk up and you prophesy their tattoos to them, it freaks them out, because what they thought they got the tattoo for has been redeemed for God, and you tell them what God said it is, they get really freaked out by that. But water is always a sign of cleansing. Cleansing. Historically, the waters were always about purification. The jug is about you serving up the purification, and the lime is the sweetness that you carry in your spirit. And I feel like the Lord wants you to know that, you know, the healing, it's not your job to bring healing and cleansing to people. It's God's job. All you got to do is keep pouring the water.
It's good.
And I feel like you're a server. You love to serve. I kind of, you know, a pitcher of water is like a waitress bringing vitality and life and hope and freedom and purity.
Thank you, Lord.
And I feel like that's your heart is to serve other people. But you're a questioner. You're always questioning, always looking for answers, and always confused in the confident, you know, your confident stuff where it's like, I'm trying to understand all the time. And I feel like the Lord would say to you, you don't need to understand. There's things I do that I have no idea why I do them. I just do them because God asked me to. And it is wild sometimes. I was driving past this place in Belfast one time, and I heard I felt the Lord say, follow the yellow brick road. Like, what? So I started singing, follow the yellow brick road. And as I'm driving past, I see this guy spraying the bricks of a man's driveway bright yellow. And I'm like, dang it. So I turned the car and I pulled down. I'm like, I got to go somewhere, God, seriously. So I follow the yellow brick road. I end up talking to this guy that's spraying the road. And I led him to Jesus. He brought him and his family to our whole church. He's now one of our worship leaders.
Mm. Follow the yellow brick road.
Follow the yellow brick road. Sometimes we do things where we just go, I have no idea why, but God, you know, he gives the answer. But sometimes I've done those things and I have no idea why. Remember, you might just be a small part of a bigger picture, you know. So stop asking questions. And I mean that in the sense of, you know, if you don't get an answer, it doesn't mean to say you have to get the answer. You know, manna means what is it? You know the manna?
Bread.
It means, the actual interpretation is, what is it? When God gave the manna, they were like, what is that? That's what it's called. That's what manna means. What is it? And God kept the mystery in his ability to perform miracles. And we want to keep the mystery out of it sometimes. We take the mystery away of what God's trying to do, but sometimes we have to just go, what is it? Remember Paul said, God, take this thorn in my flesh out of me. He says, nah, I'm not doing it. You're better off with it. I mean, if I was Paul, I'd have been miffed. But somewhere in along, God seemed to know a bigger picture. So don't get too worked up if you're trying to ask questions all the time. There's reasons why you're asking questions. Well, I think there's reasons. I'm saying there's reasons why you need to know. It brings security. And that tells me that if you need to get security, it means there's insecurity. And I would be working on that one. That's a whole other conversation for another time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, remember, God's always speaking, and the intercessors are, for some weird reason, always listening.
And what did you say jug means? Because I've had three of those in the last few days.
Did you say jug?
J-U-G.
Yes, jug, like a pitcher of water.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's servanthood. You know, like you pour it into people. You know, you didn't see a picture of a lake with limes in it. You saw a jug of water. So you serve. You know, is there a servant heart in you? Do you know her? Who knows her?
She wants to serve. Daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She wants to serve.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. I mean, sometimes I think we overcomplicate things whenever the kingdom's meant to be simple. You know, I think we can, you know, write 12-page essays about what God gives us. Sometimes it's just a jug of water, you know? It's like go pour somebody a drink.
12 uses for jugs.
Exactly. There you go. You know?
And their prophetic meanings and the colors.
That's right. It's good. Oh, sometimes
and the base of them, why the base is different prophetically for the wings.
This is why he writes books and I don't. Anyone else? It's good.